Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, May the 5th. Thanks to the 1,200 some listeners who pledged during our short spring membership drive, which ended on Saturday, helping to raise $149,000 in contributions to keep paying the bills for Wisconsin Public Radio, which, of course, is a listener-supported service. You're fantastic. Finding a place for Wisconsin Public Radio in your budget, even during tough economic times. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Maybe you donated a portion of your rebate check, part of that economic stimulus package meant to keep the country out of a recession. The $600 per individual check started arriving electronically in people's checking accounts last Monday. Another round starts today. What are you going to be doing with your rebate check? And do you think this will help the economy? What else is needed? Last week at a Rose Garden news conference, the president acknowledged the tough economic times and said he could do little to wish it away.
There is no magic wand to wave right now. It took us a while to get to this fix.
Yet he did blame Congress for not doing enough. Do you? We'll talk this hour about what or who is to blame for the current economic situation we're all in, how bad it actually is, what can be done about it, and we will wonder if you will be spending or saving your rebate check, and whether the rebate checks will do anything to soften the hard economic times as we talk with our guest professor of economics. Please join in 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or you can send an email with your question or comment to talk@wpr.org. We are happy to have back with us one of our regular guests to talk about the economy, Kevin Quinn, an associate professor of economics at St. Norbert College. Good morning.
Good morning.
So do you have a magic wand, Professor Quinn?
If I did, I'd be in the Caribbean right now.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So I saw a bunch of economic figures coming out last week about economic growth, and while it's pretty flat, it was up a little tiny bit. So technically, are we in a recession?
Well, the standard Econ 101 definition of a recession is two consecutive quarters of negative real GDP growth.
Mm-hmm.
However, that isn't quite what is used by the National Bureau of Economic Research, the referees who call this. They take into a rather complicated elixir of income and GDP and prices and a number of other items. And I think it's fair to say that even though GDP growth in the last quarter was flat or maybe just slightly up, that by any, you know, sort of common definition of what a recession is, we're in one.
Yeah. Yeah, and certainly there's just a lot at once here, too, with gas prices and the credit crunch and foreclosures. And, boy, what else?
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's true. I mean, a lot of it is sort of hitting all at once. In some ways, all the wonderful things that happened in the late 1990s seem to have been reversed by now.
Yeah. So will these rebate checks that started arriving last week, more going out today, help in any way?
Well, certainly it's better to have a few more bucks in your pocket. There's $117 billion going in the mail or into people's bank accounts. Mm-hmm. That's going to be 130 million households in the U.S. that are going to get some amount of money. And the total amounts to slightly less than 1% of U.S. GDP. So just in terms of perspectives. The theory is that people will take that money and then they'll spend it at the local grocery store, they'll spend it at the local car dealership, and then the people that work at those places will spend it at the, you know, restaurants, et cetera, and you know, the thing will multiply and cascade. The problem is that probably quite a few people are not going to spend it in that fashion. And as a result of that, and plus people may buy imported goods, so a lot of it is going to either stay in the financial system or it's going to leak out. So I don't think it's going to have this big effect.
Yeah, so if we don't go out to more restaurants or buy local products, then it's not going to do anything.
Well, certainly not as much. Obviously, if you have, you know, another $300 in your pocket, or $500, or whatever the amount is that you have, you're better off than you would have been otherwise, at least temporarily. And for a lot of families that are really stressed right now, particularly, you know, those in the bottom third or so of the income distribution in the U.S., it'll be a welcome relief to help them pay for things like food and gas, which have gone up in price dramatically in the last year or so.
And I heard that even if people put the money toward debt, like credit card debt, some were speculating that, that then they're going to spend more and put it on their credit cards.
There certainly seems to be evidence of that. I was looking at some numbers last night that kind of surprised me a little bit. In February, which is where the most recent data is available, Americans increased their revolving debt, which is typical credit card debt, by nearly 6% on an annual basis, which is, I mean, wow. I'm guessing a lot of that is not because people are confident about the future, but because they're running out of liquidity right now.
We're talking about the economy this hour with Kevin Quinn, an associate professor of economics at St. Norbert College in De Pere, and wondering what concerns you have, wondering what you want to see happen from our elected leaders. President Bush blamed Congress last week for not doing enough to help the economy. Do you blame Congress? What else do you want to see done? And what will you be doing with your tax rebate check that you will get soon if you didn't get it last week when they started going out? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 9 this morning, Kathleen Dunn and her guest will recap all the major news from Washington. It's all things political after 9 this morning. We are talking about the economy this hour with Kevin Quinn, an associate professor of economics at St. Norbert College in De Pere, welcoming your thoughts, your questions, your concerns, and if you have any plans for that rebate check that arrived last week or will be arriving soon. Another round of rebate checks, at least electronically, go out today. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Will this stimulate your economy? To the phones we go. Mike in Langlade County is with us first. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I would like to ask the professor if this isn't what we would call demand-side economics and stimulating the economy with funneling money into the hands of virtually everybody instead of supply-side economics a la Ronald Reagan and funneling money into the hands of the ultra-rich with tax breaks. Has Washington shifted gears here, or is supply-side economics waning as a thought and how to boost the economy? And I'll listen off the air.
Thanks for the call.
Yes, thank you. That is an insightful question. This is exactly demand-side economics. This is precisely standard-issue Keynesian kind of economics where the idea is that you give people money and you hope that that multiplies in terms of its economic impact. As opposed to operating on the supply side, which is to increase the ability of the country to produce. Supply-side economics has become quite the politically charged word and has come to mean quite a few things that have nothing to do with supply-side economics.
Thank you very much, Mike, for the call. Barbara in Caledonia. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think this is pretty really offensive to the average person.
What's offensive?
This tax rebate. This really is going to do nothing to really stimulate the economy. It's artificial stimulation. It's not really going to solve anything.
Yeah.
And I will be donating mine to Operation Homecoming because I will not have anything to do with this blood money. This is take this money, spend it, and keep your mouth shut. That's basically what Bush is doing. So I hope people realize that. Thank you very much.
She's not happy with that.
No, I would like to say that since it's an election year, I think that the Republicans and Democrats are both very happy to put a few extra dollars in people's pockets in time for November.
Yeah, yeah. So is she right? It's just artificial stimulus to keep us quiet?
Well, I couldn't really comment about the raw politics of it, but it's unlikely that this would do anything other than just sort of mitigate a rough patch that would occur over the summer. Mm-hmm. If it even does that.
Yeah. You know, at this news conference that the president had last week at the White House, you know, where he said he didn't have a magic wand to fix everything, he did blame Congress for not doing enough. And I'm looking at some accounts of this. He, like, 16 times somehow took a swipe at Congress for, you know, putting obstacles in the way of things that would help or not passing things that would help. I mean, is there stuff that Congress could do that that would get us out of this fix?
Not very quickly. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time to make a baby.
Yeah.
And this is one of those cases. You know, a lot of the problems that we have right now are the result of policies that have that have kept us on petroleum, mm-hmm, as an important input to the U.S. economy. The food prices, in no small part, are a result of policies that resulted in growing more corn for ethanol. But the idea that somehow this happened in the last 6 or 8 months is kind of silly.
Yeah. Next we go to Pam in Osceola. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering if with the next rebate check, or this rebate check that we get, if you owe the federal government, will they take that from you, or will they allow you to have it?
If you owe taxes, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. If past taxes, you know, that you're paying, yeah, on, and, you know, they take out of whatever you get for rebate for your recent checks, you know, for
right,
taxes.
Right. I'm not exactly sure. Do you know, Professor?
I'm not sure either. It's best to check with the IRS website. They have a pretty decent description, if you're willing to take the time and read through some of that thick accounting ease. But they have a pretty good description of it. My sense is that probably if you owe them money, you know, they have your Social Security number and stuff, I think that they're probably not going to send you a check.
Right. That's my thought, too. And I know that there was some people talking about they were in arrears for, you know, child support payments and things like that. And even in those situations, that check may not be deposited in your checking account.
Yeah, I'm not sure. The best bet is to check with the IRS website,
right.
I think.
Christopher in New Berlin. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks. I just want to say that since I feel this energy for the tax rebate should be going towards more clean energy and the United States, and so that's what my plan is going to be. I'm going to put where I feel this money should be and invest it in clean energy. Thanks.
Well, good for you. There's an idea. Will that stimulate the economy, Professor Quinn?
Indirectly, mm-hmm, of course, because the company that gets the money is probably going to invest it and presumably do something with that. But I think his point brings another issue up. I think that's important. The difference between the long run and the short run.
Mm-hmm.
There is no doubt about the fact that this kind of a policy, this demand-side policy, is a short-run fix, hopefully to get us through a short-run business cycle. But there are some fundamental issues that face the U.S. macroeconomy right now. We're borrowing a lot of money. We have this problem with the mortgages, you know, food prices, oil prices, et cetera. And this rebate does very little, well, basically nothing, to address those structural problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jerry in Waukesha sent an email, and I'm sorry to hear this, Jerry. He says, I have received my rebate stimulus check a few days ago via electronic funds transfer. How will I spend it? Well, by the end of the month, I'll be out of a job. I'll be using the money to help find another job, resumes, travel expenses, to interviews, etc. Well, that's too bad. Talk a little bit about the job situation, Professor Quinn. Maybe if you know a little bit about what we lost 750 jobs in Wisconsin last week with the GM layoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the labor market is not particularly robust right now. It's not as bad as people thought it might be. I don't know if this is the calm before the storm or if maybe there's some bottoming out. Nationwide, the U.S. has lost about 100,000 jobs since last December. Now, a typical recession is about 150,000 to 200,000 jobs lost. Of course, this is monthly data. So, you know, it can go up, it can go down, et cetera. But so far, the unemployment rate actually dropped last period. That said, one of the things that has happened is the number of workers with full-time jobs have declined. So what we're finding, I think, is a lot of people that are being moved out of full-time jobs and are taking part-time jobs. Unfortunately, the emailer's situation is not unique enough.
Yeah, it's sad. I'm sorry to hear that, Jerry. Next we go to Bill in Cedarburg. Hi, Bill, you're on the air.
Hi. I think the rebates will help a little bit, but I think in the long run what we really have to do is invest in the infrastructure of the country, build bridges and all these things to build up the country, which will keep the money in the United States. And if we buy in the stores, it's going to go over to China or foreign countries. So that's my...
Yeah, is he right, Professor Quinn?
Well, it's sort of like taking money and what do you do with it? If you get to get a check, you can either fix up your house or you can go on vacation. If you go on vacation, you feel great for 2 weeks. But in the long run, maybe what you need to do is fix up your house.
Yeah. I guess we won't be building a whole lot of new bridges if there's a federal gas tax moratorium as being advocated by candidates McCain and Clinton. What would that do if there was a federal gas tax moratorium?
If it would do approximately nothing, I think, in terms of the price. People have to buy gas. I mean, there's a very low sensitivity to price in terms of the demand that people exhibit. They just shell out more money and then they don't spend money on other things. If for some reason there were 18 cents that weren't going to the government, the oil companies would be smart to basically just replace that tax with their profits. I think it'd be very difficult to find an economist that thinks this is a great idea.
You know, I wanted to ask you, I saw on Friday the Federal Reserve Board recommended new rules intended to stop unfair and deceptive credit card practices. Yet it says the industry is going to fight the changes. So what, do they want to be unfair and deceptive?
Well, most industries want less regulation. The only time you'll find an industry that wants more regulation is where you have a few big boys and some small ones that are nipping at their heels. Sometimes the big boys will want more regulation to raise the expenses of the small ones. But generally speaking, industries prefer less regulation. And, you know, they've made some good money, particularly on those that are now most stressed. They would like to make sure that they continue to make that kind of money.
Yeah. Next we go to Darwin in DeSoto. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. That $600 in this year is going to tip so many people over into the next higher income tax bracket that the following year they're going to get charged $1,800 more on their taxes, and no one sees this coming. And President Bush will be out of office. It's like a robin catching a worm and flying away.
we only have a minute before our news break. Is that going to push us into a higher tax bracket?
It's my understanding that these rebates are non-taxable.
Okay, so then the robin's not going to get that worm.
No.
All right. Thanks, Darwin, for the call. Our guest, Kevin Quinn, Associate Professor of Economics at St. Norbert College in De Pere, talking with us about some of the latest news regarding our economy and about those tax rebate checks, which started going out last week. Another round starts today. What will you be doing with your tax rebate check? And what questions or concerns do you have about the economy? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Monday, May the 5th. Happy Cinco de Mayo. President Bush says his administration has been clear and candid about the nation's economy. In his weekly radio address on Saturday, the president said that he and his advisors saw the economic slowdown coming, and they were upfront about these concerns. The president's comments appeared at least partly in response to criticism from Democratic leaders who say his view of the economy is rosy and unrealistic. Bush says he is confident that the American people will help get the economy stronger. The president is counting on a short-term economic boost to help. In a deal he reached with Congress back in February, tax rebate checks of up to $600 for individuals and $1,200 for couples are on their way to more than 130 million households. The checks started arriving last week, and another round goes out today. What will you be doing with your rebate check? What are your concerns about the economy? And what are your questions for our guest? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking with Kevin Quinn, Associate Professor of Economics at St. Norbert College, and Judy in Green Bay is our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Good
morning.
Hi, I hope you can explain something to me or your guest can help me to understand. Why are we paying these high oil prices if we have oil in reserve? What are we saving that oil for?
The strategic reserve, Kevin Quinn?
Yes, she's talking about the strategic petroleum reserve, which is a big bunch of oil that the U.S. government has purchased in the case of supply interruptions. Perhaps some of those, some of your perhaps less young listeners would remember the 1970s when we had a couple of rather severe interruptions of our supply, and it was very damaging to our economy. And so this stuff is just sitting there. Now, there's some thinking that perhaps what we ought to do is we ought to start selling that, and that would increase the supply of oil on the market and lower the price for a while. Mm-hmm. So some people think that'd be the appropriate thing to do. Other people think that that's our rainy day oil, and in case we have another supply disruption because of geopolitical events or something else, mm-hmm. that we'll need that.
Well, as we heard in National Public Radio News just before we resumed here, a new survey says the national average price for regular gasoline rose about 15 cents in the last 2 weeks. Self-serve regular gas on Friday was $3.62 a gallon, up 15 cents from 2 weeks ago, and it goes on. The president addressed the high gas prices and that situation in his address last week as well, and blamed Congress for that.
One of the main reasons for high gas prices is that global oil production is not keeping up with growing demand. Members of Congress have been vocal about foreign governments increasing their oil production, yet Congress has been just as vocal in opposition to efforts to expand our production here at home. They've repeatedly blocked environmentally safe exploration in ANWR. Department of Energy estimates that ANWR could allow America to produce about 1 million additional barrels of oil every day, which translates to about 27 million of gallons of gasoline and diesel every day. That would be about a 20% increase of oil, crude oil production over U.S. levels, and it would likely mean lower gas prices.
Well, Professor Quinn, I know you're not a political scientist, but is the president right in saying that if we were drilling in ANWR and getting oil there, our gas prices would go down?
Possibly. That would be likely for however long that would hold out at whatever rate of pumping that they could get. And in the future, whenever we could start actually adding that to the supply. But it doesn't address a more fundamental issue, which is the fact that the economy is so dependent upon petroleum. Mm-hmm. That's the bigger problem. And, you know, no one wants to hear this, but the best way to encourage people to find more oil is to have a high price for it. Yeah. That high price tells people, start looking.
Yeah. Next we go to Tom in Mequon. Hi, Tom, you're on the air.
Hi, interesting show. Boy, there's so many points. To me, it's just a couple things. I think a large part of this is from deregulation, like the banking industry that on your news blip at 6:30 talked about credit cards. They need to be re-regulated again, like the laws it used to be, like back in the 70s and below. I'm surprised that the Democrats are not talking about this because it's mainly Republican issue that they're the ones who push for the deregulation, like the aircraft industry, like the trucking, like the mess we're in with the home situation. That's because of deregulation. Also, lastly, I'd like to point out the energy issue. It's been bad policy since the 70s. We need to drill for our own oil, and I think that the laws need to be changed. If any oil drilled in this country stays in this country, and if there's anything extra, then put it on the world market. But we need to get serious about helping this country. If this country does not have affordable energy, and it's so spread out, we need affordable energy. Otherwise, it's going to keep going down like you're seeing, and get rid of the gas vault. The government's got to stop these government lifting up gas oil and giving them a 60-cent break on every gallon. That's got to stop now.
I'm sorry, I missed that, Tom. You said gas oil?
Ethanol.
Okay.
That's got to stop now. Look at where people are starving around the world. There's riots. I mean, it's got to stop now. It's bad policy,
yeah.
and it's immoral. Lastly,
well, want to pick and choose and react to any of that, Professor Quinn?
Yeah, let me talk a little bit about the ethanol policy. Again, I want to reiterate that, in my opinion, the problem is largely the same problem we had 30 years ago. This economy depends on petroleum way too much. There are technologies that are waiting. They have not been rolled out for whatever reasons. But we're going to keep having this problem time and time again, and it's going to get worse as the rest of the world starts demanding more and more petroleum. The only long-run solution to this, and this is painful, it's going to be expensive, at least in the short run, is to figure out other ways to power the economy. Now, as far as the ethanol is concerned, it's true. I think something like a third or some number like that of corn production is now going to ethanol, which is at best a stopgap measure. And because of the increased demand for corn, because of ethanol, the price of corn is going up. And you're finding, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to this know this better than I do, a lot of the farmers are deciding not to plant other crops but to plant corn. That's driving the price of foodstuffs up. However, the other thing that's driving the price of foodstuffs up has to do with the fact that there's an emerging middle class in the world, and they're buying more food, too.
Yeah, like in China and India, they're buying more meat and that sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Well, you know, explain this a little bit more, because we're seeing the proponents of ethanol saying, "Hey, look at this piece of corn that goes into ethanol. You're not going to eat this anyway. So why are food prices going up? Because we're putting that feed corn for cattle into ethanol."
Well, basically, that there's more demand for corn of all types than there was before, and that crowds out other types of crop growth. It encourages farmers to grow whatever it is that they can sell at the highest price, which is going to be corn, whether it's, you know, feed corn, et cetera. But, of course, that grain is also going to in our meat supply as well, and so this just cascades down the food chain.
Yeah, and then the wheat prices and rice prices are going through the roof because...
I'm not sure about the rice prices. I know that there's been some real concern about that, but at least here in the U.S., a lot of the reason why what the corn price is doing is crowding out other grains.
I get it. We will talk more about the food crisis and food prices tomorrow morning in our 8 o'clock hour. We're talking with the author of a book called Stuffed or Starved. He's going to be testifying before Congress on the global food crisis, and we'll have him on tomorrow morning during our 8 o'clock hour. Right now, we're talking with Kevin Quinn about all things pertaining to the economy. He's an associate professor of economics at St. Norbert College. And we welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're welcoming your questions about the economy, whether you are expecting your elected leaders to do something about this more so than already has been done. You will be getting that rebate check soon if you haven't gotten it already, wondering what you're going to do with it as well. Do you have plans to spend it or save it or something else? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Monday, May the 5th. Coming up after 7, it's our State Capitol Report. We'll talk of state politics and how Wisconsin will be affected by putting off a budget fix that happened last week. At least no deal reached in the effort to solve a $500 million budget shortfall. Plus, we'll welcome in a state legislator to talk about state photo ID. Should Wisconsin have a photo ID law now that the U.S. Supreme Court says it is constitutional? That's our State Capitol Report coming up after 7. Right now we're talking about the economy and those rebate checks that we're getting with Kevin Quinn, Associate Professor of Economics at St. Norbert College. And our next caller is Cassandra in Beaver Dam. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, nice. Thanks for having my call. I actually just wanted to let you know, we plan to spend our rebate on food. We're going to buy like a half side of beef.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
And you consciously made that decision, hey, let's use this to stock up on the meat now.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Kevin Quinn, a reaction?
Yes, that's not an uncommon way to spend it. A poll was commissioned by, I think it was creditcards.com, from GFK Roper in March, and they asked people, what are you planning to do with your tax rebate? And about a quarter each said they were going to either pay debt or save it. So according to this, only, you know, half of it's going into the financial system one way or the other.
Yeah.
Another fifth or so, 21%, said they were going to spend it on living expenses. And then a variety of others said they were going to do things like home repair, vehicle expense, that sort of thing. Only about 1 out of 10 said that they were just going to blow it or, you know, spend it on something fun.
Yeah.
So the caller's use of that money is not the least bit uncommon.
Yeah. Thanks, Cassandra. Good luck. Jim in Lake Mills. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I just wanted to remind people of whose money they're really going to be spending here with record deficits year after year. This isn't tax money that we're paying. This is money that our kids and grandkids are going to have to pay back, and probably on service sector jobs. You know, I don't feel good about this at all.
Yeah. Oh, are we spending our grandkids' money, Kevin Quinn?
To some degree, yes, we're spending our grandchildren's money. Then again, what have our grandchildren ever done for us?
No.
I'm just kidding. But to some extent, that's true. However, one thing that we have to think about when we consider that balance is that presumably we're leaving an economy that's growing. To the extent that that's true, and to the extent that the reason why we're taking this money is to improve the infrastructure, schools, that sort of thing, you know, even, you know, security, if that's what you think is how to spend the money, then actually we are leaving our grandchildren with a better world than we found it. However, I think you can make a debate about the wisdom of the way that we're spending our money right now. It seems to be a lot on consumer products, things that are not durables. We seem to be neglecting our infrastructure. So I think your caller has a point.
Do you have a forecast for us, Professor Quinn, in terms of, you know, how long will these tight times last? Whether, you know, are most economists hopeful that the stimulus and other efforts will get us out of this, this recession sooner rather than later?
Well, in general, I'd like to say that I'm a member of the three quarters or so of economists that think that we are in a recession,
mm-hmm.
and that it probably started around the first of the year, give or take a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
The typical post-World War II recession in the U.S. has lasted about 11 months. So figure about a year of weak growth. I think most economists, and I'm one of them, believe that the economy has not yet bottomed out. And as a result of that, we're going to see a little bit more pain. So I would guess that at least through the summer and probably into the fall, we're likely to see slow growth. That's going to be mitigated somewhat by these rebate checks, but I think for the most part that's the case. And the other thing is that we're going to likely see unemployment inch up. Unemployment tends to be a lagging indicator, and it's not a perfect indicator, as I said earlier in the hour, that sometimes what happens is people migrate from good full-time jobs to not-so-good part-time jobs. That doesn't show up in the unemployment rate. Even so, we're looking at an unemployment rate now of 5%, which is not historically awful. My guess is it might get up to 6% or something like that, barring anything really awful happening. But there are some fundamental problems in the economy that are going to remain. We are going to continue to have issues with the credit sector and the housing market. That's going to take a long time to work itself out, and I think that's the big story here. 10%, 9 million households have mortgages that are bigger than the value of their homes.
Mm, yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, and that's why they're being foreclosed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, something like 6% of mortgage payers are behind on their payments, and lenders are now foreclosing on 1 million homes, mm-hmm. which is dumping these homes on the market, which is not helping the housing price. And I think lenders are being a little bit more agreeable with families that they would have foreclosed upon because they don't want any more houses. They're willing to take more of a chance. However, a lot of those folks aren't going to make it. And as a result of that, we're going to see these foreclosures that are going to continue to roil the economy for, I think, quite a while, at least for the rest of this year.
Wow. Well, that's so we're no relief until late 2008 or early 2009.
Unfortunately, I think that's true. But yeah. The one thing about making predictions is that they're almost always wrong.
There we go. Well, we'll hope yours are. Jeannie in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Jeannie. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Where did we get the money to pay that rebate? Did that come from China? Did we borrow it?
did we borrow that from China?
To some degree, yes, we did. The way that we're spending right now, the U.S. government is spending more than it takes in tax revenue. That means they're borrowing it. So every time you buy, you know, a T-bill or a bond or government bond or something like that, you're financing the U.S. government. In a sense, what we're doing is we're borrowing from the future, as your previous caller said, to pay for this. Now, China. We have a big trade deficit with China, which means there's a lot of dollars that are going to them. Now, they have to repatriate those dollars somehow. They have chosen to buy U.S. government securities. So your caller is basically correct.
Yep. Steve in Madison sent this email. One thing many people may not realize that there are people other than high-income earners who will not get the rebate. I'm retired, living primarily on my pension and savings, so I don't have $3,000 in earnings. However, I'm only 60 years old, no Social Security, but I did pay almost $2,000 in income taxes last year. I could certainly use an extra $600, but the only thing the rebate does for me is to irritate me.
I think there are more than a few people in that boat. As I mentioned, it's going to be 130 million households in this country that are going to get the rebates. Mm-hmm. If you didn't pay enough, have enough income, or if you had too much income, you're not included.
Yeah. Do you remember what was the upper level for that? Was it
individuals? It was 75,000. Mm-hmm. Couples, it was 150, and it phases out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So you lose 5% of your rebate for every dollar above that. So it disappears entirely for family income about $180,000 or something. I mean, a two-couple income about $180,000 or thereabouts.
We have Kurt in Springbrook with this email. How can we expect the economy not to slow and eventually fall into a depression? The economy is based on infinite growth on a finite planet, and there are only so many resources that can be turned into products. It's that simple.
Yes, I hear that a lot. That's a sort of a Malthusian argument. It's predicated on the notion that we don't improve our ability to transform inputs into outputs, that technology is improving more slowly than our demand is. So far, that has not proven to be the case. What happens is that as inputs get more expensive, there's incentive to switch away from those inputs to use things that are less expensive or to do other things that don't require those inputs.
Yeah. And Jane in Richland Center is with us now. Hi, Jane.
Hi. Who is Bush trying to kid? He blames Congress for the money problem when he led us to war and we're spending trillions of dollars on it.
Yeah.
Where's the responsibility?
Well, what about the war and its effect on our economy, Professor Quinn?
Well, it's expensive. Mm-hmm. We're borrowing the money to pay for this war. And as a result of that, that's money that either we wouldn't have to borrow and we wouldn't incur future obligations, or it's money that we could be doing other things with. Now, it wouldn't be for me to judge about mm-hmm. where the U.S. government should spend its next dollar. the Bush administration has decided that the best use of that money is in Iraq, and obviously that's very controversial.
Yeah. Well, lots of interest in this topic, obviously, Professor Quinn, but no more time for other callers. I want to thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Kevin Quinn, Associate Professor of Economics at St. Norbert College in De Pere, talking with us about the latest economic news and those rebate checks. If you didn't get yours, if you're entitled to one last week, another round goes out today. Electronic transfer of your $600 or $1,200 tax rebate coming soon to you. Well, thanks very much to Karen Prager for producing this hour. Thanks to Michelle Kofel for on-air production. And thank you for listening. And thanks to all who contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio during our spring membership drive. You donated $149,000 to help support the programming that you depend on. More than 1,200 listeners pledged. We are very pleased to welcome in more than 340 brand new members to the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We wouldn't be here without your support. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.